Danny West, hogsports.com, joins us. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Good. Just a little
good deal.
Lively debate here on the show today.
That's what Freaky Joe was telling me. I must have missed it.
Yeah, it's been hopping pretty good. We're going to dive right into it. We're going to head right back to the phones and dive right back into it. Let's go with John in Little Rock. John, welcome. John decided not to stay on. Let's go to Jim in The Rock. Jim.
Yeah, hey, I had a quick question for Matt on the quarterback situation. It seems going, I mean, this is my view, it seems going from a little more involved offense from Petrino down to Bielema would be a little easier than going the other way from a more, you know, run-oriented up to trying to change to Petrino's if you were a quarterback. Just want to get his perspective on that. If he thinks maybe because we're going to a more basic ground game thing, it might be.
Well, I know where you're going. Here's the deal with Petrino. It's more complex where you might have more reads and more as far as pass plays that you have to kind of be quicker on your feet where you're still having a different system with different terminology. And so you got to translate it over and get comfortable with it. And it takes a while. It usually takes a year before you get confident with it because you're still going to have checks. You're still going to have audibles. You still got to figure out the way you're going to go about it. And it might even be simple stuff like in 2 minute, most of the time you have one or two line protections that you're going to have. Well, Coach Bielema might have two different line protections you're going to have. So you got to learn that. Signals might be different. I mean, you just got to translate it all over, and it just takes a while to get it.
How much is the transition for the offensive line? Is it work harder for them than a quarterback, or all about the same?
Well, you know, I have never. I don't know. I've never played offensive line, and the thing, a lot of the schemes will be the same. But even with a quarterback, like a lot of your route combinations and schemes are going to be similar. But the wording is going to be different. And as far as the offensive line, it's probably, I would say, probably not as hard. I would say the quarterback's the toughest because you got to know what everybody's going to do. When you break the huddle and you see a receiver going to the wrong side of the field, you got to be on your feet to say, hey, over here to the left. And then you still got to read the defense, you know. So the quarterback, right, I think, has it the toughest. But still,
and the center probably second.
The center, yeah, the center would go second, and then running backs would probably be third because the way the line shifts and blocking, your hot read could change as a running back on who you got also.
Do you think by about the middle of the season we ought to know if they're going to get it pretty good this year, or if it's just going to be a full year?
Well, here's what they'll do. They put in some of their plays, and what most coordinators will do is the full playbook probably will never be in this year. You know, like it goes in, but you want them comfortable, confident, and you don't want them thinking about it. You want them playing fast and executing. So it might only be 40-50% of the playbook in, and then you take out that other 40% and you kind of rotate what fits best different games, you know, different schemes for different teams. You're not going to have the whole playbook in, I don't think, right now. And I think the coach was talking about that during spring ball, too.
Have either of y'all seen that the other quarterback, I guess, the guy behind Brandon, play? Know much about him? He seems
Danny
like
might have. Who Danny AJ, might know?
A.J. Derby?
Yeah, A.J. Derby.
Yeah, right,
yeah, junior college transfer. He originally signed with Iowa, I want to say in 2011. Kind of had some off-the-field issues up there, but apparently he's matured and grown up over the last couple of years, got his head on straight. Not the biggest arm in the world for a guy who's 6'5", 241, but definitely a guy who can put it there. I thought his accuracy really improved throughout the spring, but still, bottom line, it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of those true freshmen, Austin Allen or Doo-Wop Mitchell, come in and really push for that number two spot.
How big is that Mitchell kid? I've heard of him.
Damon is about 6'1", 200. He may be 6'2", but I would doubt it.
Okay, great. All right, well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Danny, Zach Rogers, Arkansas, gets a commitment from him. How big is that?
Well, it's huge. I'm not going to say it's as big as getting Alex Collins out of Florida. You know, they pulled him away from Florida, Florida State, Miami. But when you can go into Texas 2 years before this guy signs and pull out a guy who has a Texas offer, has an Oklahoma offer, he grew up an Oklahoma Sooners fan, I think that's really telling, you know, as far as the relationship that they were able to build with him. And he's a guy who's been up here 14 times over the last 12 months. He and his family love Northwest Arkansas. They love the school, love the new coaching staff. This is a guy he was offered by the last coaching staff. You have to remember that. He was their guy. And then with the coaching change, he kind of lost contact with Arkansas. He reconnects with them, starts building a relationship, and ultimately, in the end, he ended up pulling the trigger on Saturday.
Awesome.
And this is Zach Rogers.
Yeah.
And what position is he again?
He is an offensive lineman. I think he's probably going to play center at Arkansas. He's only about 6'2", 280. He's still going to put on a few more pounds, but I don't see him getting a whole lot taller. I think he's going to be in that 6'2", 6'3 range. But, man, you talk about a good one. You know, you look at what Jonathan Luigs did at Arkansas, then you go to Travis Swanson. Now you follow him up with a guy like this. I think it really keeps Arkansas in the mix for some of those Remington trophies.
That would be nice. And, obviously, Swanson's on the watch list this year for
the
Remington Award watch list. Let's go to Larry in Russellville. Larry, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've got a solution for all those motor mouths about the Big 12 being as good as the SEC. Have the commissioners of the Big 12 and SEC get together and schedule the second week of the game, second week of the season. Have them schedule the number one team out of the SEC against the number one team from the Big 12 and go right on down, number two against number two, number three against number three. And that'll shut them guys up.
Well, you would think, but that's not going to – I mean, in hindsight, it's a great solution, but it's not feasible. It's not going to happen, unfortunately.
It sure would be nice, though.
It would be nice. Larry, thanks for the call.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah, it would be nice. Danny, obviously the sports information director at Texas Tech tweeted yesterday that
– Right.
You know, the difference in Big 12 media days and SEC football media days is that Big 12 media days, the teams can look around the room and they can say, yeah, we can beat every team in here or we can lose to every team in here. That's not the case in the SEC.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah,
but,
very cute.
I can tell the difference is on defense. You know, those guys, I'm not sure they even practice defense over there. They give up 30 points a game. It's about, you know, 18 to 20 in the SEC. Then you look at the NFL numbers, the amount of people that go to the NFL from the SEC compared to any other conference is just staggering, in my opinion. And I don't know, I really don't think it's worth much of a debate after you look at NFL numbers, bowl games each year, and then, you know, bottom line is championships. And the SEC has proven it dominates the championship margin as well. So I don't know what that guy's talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, Kansas State last year was number one in the country and then just gets destroyed by Baylor, who went, what, 9-5 or something? That doesn't happen in the SEC. You don't see that happen. But I know you went down to Dallas, and how was that, and who really stood out? Any Arkansas prospects standing out there, and who did you think, you know, kind of different positions looked the best, and a little bit about Ty's story as well?
Hey, I can tell you, I'm very, very proud of how our kids, and when I say our kids, I mean the Arkansas kids, of course, and Zach Rogers now that he's on board with Arkansas. But I was really impressed with how every one of our guys went down there and performed, starting with Will Gregg. He came out of the event as the top tight end in attendance. Ty Story was the number three quarterback there. In my opinion, on my list, I really believe he was the best quarterback there. That's just my opinion, but, you know, that really doesn't matter a whole lot.
Well, yeah, tell me more about Ty. Okay, go ahead. I'll ask that later. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Zach Rogers, who we just spoke about, he was in the top five or six offensive linemen. Austin Capps was in the top five or so for defensive linemen, and he's only a 2016 prospect from Star City. K.J. Hill was probably my biggest surprise, the wide receiver out of North Little Rock. he went down there, and I felt like he was probably one of the top five wide receivers. I was really surprised he didn't get more national recognition. We're still working on that because KJ is going to be a great player. And then DJ Brown, a running back from Little Rock Catholic, I thought he did some things as well. But it's kind of hard at a camp like that for a running back to do a whole lot, if you know what I mean. It's pretty much running routes and trying to catch the ball out of the backfield. You really don't get a feel for how well they run the ball.
Right. And again, I know what you mean. It's kind of like a big player in the McDonald's
right.
All-American game. They're not – I mean, it's guard-driven, those type of games. And the same thing here. You want to see how their hands are as far as how they do catch, but they don't really get to be true running backs. And about Ty's story, you know, what impresses you? Is it his footwork? Is it his arm strength? Is it his throwing motion, his delivery? What are some of the things that impress you about him?
I like everything about him. First of all, his size, you know, a 6'3", 220-pound, 16-year-old. He's going to continue to grow and get bigger. That arm is not the strongest in the world. He doesn't even have Rafe Peavy's arm, if you know what I mean, right now. But he's still got a long time to progress and work on that arm strength. But as far as mechanics, this guy's been to so many national-type camps and you know, different team camps that he's been able to work with a lot of really good coaches. And he's just fluid, got a great throwing motion, throws the same ball just about every time, extremely accurate. He's got a high football IQ. I could go on and on about Ty's story, but the greatest thing about him is he's still got two more years left of high school ball. He's already really, really good. He's got a chance to be one of the top five in the country, in my opinion, by the time he's done with high school.
Let's head to Corndog. Corndog, welcome to Overtime.
Thanks, guys. And, Danny, I always enjoy when you're on there, man. I gain a lot of insight because recruiting is probably one of my weaknesses. And so I glean a lot of knowledge from you, bro.
Thank you.
But I did want to weigh in on this, you know, SEC Big Ten. And just real quick, just to kind of compare –
Big 12. Big 12 with
or
10
Big
teams.
12. Yeah, Big 12. well, that's Big 10, isn't it?
It should
they
be.
They don't know what they are.
They don't know what they are.
Hey, you got an SID
big
tweeting
nine,
over
big
there
a,
about
whatever they are.
You got an SID tweeting about which conference is better, and they can't even count.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, think about the SEC basketball and how there was so much parity in the SEC and how we were considered so down this season. We beat up on each other. I mean, and, you know, I mean, and when we got to tournament time, nobody shines, really. I mean, and if you take our top three or top five and put them into that league, they're not mediocre anymore. They're not balanced. They will be top heavy just like we are. I mean, you take an Alabama, an LSU, South Carolina, a Georgia, a Florida. I mean, and look at what they're projected to do this year. And I think, me personally, I'm a.
But here's what
fan.
I think.
I think Georgia's going to be really good this year.
Oh, me too. That's my pick to win it. And Corndog, here's what I think. To me, top heavy is the Big 12. Because you have one or two teams that have had success. But when we talk about the SEC, you had six teams win double-digit wins with two of them. One of them had eight, one of them had nine. That's half your league right there, you know, with 14 teams. You're talking about eight teams winning over eight games. How are we talking top-heavy? There's just a bottom. You know, there's two or three, four teams that aren't having the success where you look at the Big 12 and you have one or two teams that win the 10 games, where in the SEC there's six. You can't say that when it's almost half your conference that is doing that well.
Right. And I mean, and the SEC is you know, it's NFL-like. You know what I mean? These guys
right.
are preparing for the NFL. I mean, the speed of the game, you know, I thought it was real telling, just, you know, the little snippet that I read about Tyler Wilson, you know, today, talking about, you know, how, you know, the speed of the game is not really affecting him at all. He said, I'm used to this.
He played in the SEC.
Yeah, he played in the SEC. He said, now, you know, he said, these guys are, you know, they're you know, obviously they're bigger, they're stronger, and it's the best of the talent. And once we put pads on, they're more instinctive, and so that's going to make them quicker. But if you're a top SEC talent, you're not going to be scared of the NFL at all.
Right. I totally get you, Corn Dog.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Danny, talk about the Southwest Elite 7-on-7 begins tomorrow. Lots of Arkansas talent playing in that 7-on-7 competition.
Yeah, a couple of guys we just talked about. Rafe Peavy, 2014 commit, one of the top quarterbacks in the country from Bolivar, Missouri. His team's going to be there, as well as Ty Story from Charleston. Be a good chance to see both of Arkansas's next two quarterback commits. Jack Krause is a tight end commit at Arkansas from Bentonville. His team will be there, as well as DeAndre Goolsby. He's Arkansas's top tight end prospect, in my opinion. He's from Derby, Kansas. Definitely one of the elite tight end prospects in the country. He's got all kinds of offers, so come out and check him out. And as well as Jordan Dennis from Fayetteville, DeAndre Murray from Springdale, some of the local talent here. Be a lot of talent on hand. I think they've got Tim Tebow coming in to tomorrow night to give a little speech. I think Herm Edwards is going to make an appearance. Pretty big deal. Really looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of talent on hand.
And where all is that taking place?
That will be at Shiloh Christian High School, right in Springdale.
Awesome. I know where that is very, very well. Danny, what's one thing that you are looking forward to learning from the SEC next week at SEC Football Media Days?
I always enjoy kind of the smack talk. I want to see who puts their foot in their mouth. I think Trey Biddy's going down there, of course, from Hog Sports. He's going to have blowout coverage. He's planning on interviewing every player and every coach represented there. So we'll find out who messes up and kind of puts some bulletin board material out there. That's usually my favorite part of it.
Well, I can tell you that it happens every year. Since I've been going, something happens every year. There's no question about it. Let's go to Jay in Austin. Jay, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
I just having a slow day at work. Caught y'all talking about the conference talks about the SEC versus the Big 12. And I'm not even going to try to make a stance to the argument, because, I mean, I think it's very obvious now, at least, the Big 12 is a shell of what it used to be. But let me ask you guys this first off. Would you not say, at least maybe until the conference realignment all started taking place, they were maybe not neck and neck with the SEC, but the close second runner-up with the other conferences back in the day?
Well, either that or the Pac-12.
The Pac-12? You wouldn't think Big Ten?
Well, look at Oregon and Stan. I mean, what's the basis?
Yeah, last 20 years, what are we looking at as far as that?
No, see, that's kind of it, because I really don't know either, because if we're going, I guess, like on national championship appearances, I would think, you know, back in the day, it would have to be either Big 12 or Big 10, but besides the SEC, it was either, you know, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas.
Nebraska was good.
Well, how far are you going back? That's the question. You going back to 2000? You going back to the start of the BCS? You going back to?
I guess, you know, you have to at least go back to the BCS era. I mean, since the, you know, the 98.
Tennessee won it 98.
Tennessee won it 98. Florida State won it the next year, I believe.
OU won it the next year.
Yeah.
And since 98,
USC,
you've only
has
had
played for it.
Two Big 12 teams win it. And if you add Tennessee to the list, that would be five.
Yeah. Jay, we're up against it, buddy.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Danny, as always, good to talk to you. We'll have a split broadcast next week. I'll be in Hoover. Matt will be here in the studio, and you'll join us from Northwest Arkansas.
Can't wait.